Hello, hello, this is Jason E. and welcome to the Trading and Ascension podcast. While discussing topics related to personal growth, spiritual growth, and day trading, this podcast provides thought-provoking concepts and direct source energy to help us evolve as humans and professional traders, all while I'm logging my journey. Today, we have two special guests on the show. We'll be talking to Jess and Rob, and I'm excited. These guys who are currently in Colorado, they bring over 25 years combined trading experience to the show today. And Jess and Rob, they host meetups to share trading knowledge, and they are a source of wisdom behind Trader Genius, and you can check that out at tradergenius.com. These fellas, they not only trade, but they also teach, and they support, and they motivate other traders. They have an educational goal of helping individuals successfully trade stocks and options, and they want them to gain a skill set to not only generate money, but also build a generational legacy. Trading Ascension listeners, stay tuned. You are in for a treat. So like we hate to drive through, let's get it in. Jess, Rob, welcome to the Trading Ascension podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us, Jason.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited to talk to you guys today. I've definitely learned something from you as I've dove into your content, even from attending the meetup. And one thing that you guys say is there is a foundation, you know, to success in trading. And you've mentioned, among other things, that it comes in three parts: focus, emotions, and having a why. Can you just start us off by talking about maybe your personal whys and then the benefits of having a why it's important?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and jump in on that. For me, my why is really creating a lifestyle. You know, the finances are important, but for me, the finances are only as important as it creates freedom. So really, my ultimate goal was freedom of movement. And the only way that you can get freedom of movement that I've been able to find that's successful is having freedom of time and being financially free. That's what, you know, those two things usually are the hindrances to being able to kind of explore the world and just kind of go about what you want to do each day on your own terms and your own schedule. And like you had talked about trading being generational or creating a legacy, I want to show my boys the world. I want them to be able to experience something different than, you know, necessarily what I had, and be able to, for them to improve upon that and impact other people's lives in the same process.
Jason, likewise, you know, freedom is probably the number one word I would use, like Jess. And, you know, we've got military backgrounds coming from the Marine Corps myself. You don't get a whole lot of personal freedom. And my requests weren't that difficult. Just don't bother me when I'm trying to eat chow. Don't bother with my sleep. I want a little elbow room. You don't get a lot of that in the Marines, but once you get out, and I always kind of had that entrepreneurial, you know, bug or bone in me, going forward, I started a couple businesses early on, after I separated from the Marines. And as I matured and kind of shed that skin of, you know, being in uniform, I was able to dictate my own bearing and my own heading. And I know exactly what I want my lifestyle to look like. It is that same freedom of movement, freedom of time, space, and location that Jess mentioned. And trading is the simplest business model to achieve that.
That's awesome. And so I definitely wanted to talk about your views on freedom, but let me just kind of go back on what I heard. It sounds like when you have freedom of income and you have freedom of time, then that's the total freedom. Is that how you both would kind of define the freedom that you seek from trading?
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to have those two things. I mean, a lot of people, myself included, for a while, was trading their time for money. So, you know, you go to work, you say 9 to 5, but, you know, most people 8 to 6, 7 to 7, if you're looking at commute time or even more. Yeah. And so, sure, you know, you are making, you have a stable job that's making some sort of level of income, but you're giving up your time. So being able to create a business in the form of trading that allows you in a relatively short amount of time each day, check that box of finances, then that opens up your time. And with, say, stock trading, that's where your money's working while you're having your time back instead of you working for money. So it provides a nice kind of different way of approaching it to be able to create that freedom.
Yeah, the reliable income stream is the resources you need to achieve that freedom and unlock whatever lifestyle floats your boat. And you know, it's not magic. It is a business. So you build it up, to the point where it can consistently pay you if you provide the right inputs behaviorally, and choose the right trades. Over time, you get better and better at that. There are going to be times where you have to, you know, rely a little bit more on the credit card than on the income stream, but you weather those kind of weeks or months. And once you get stable and up and running, then you can rely on it to consistently pay you and deliver you that, you know, basically agility and the ability to plug and unplug from the overall, you know, system societally.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to go back to the beginning of how you guys started trading. But Rob, something you said there kind of caught my eye, and it was in regards to somewhat of the income goals. How would you guys, how do you set income goals? When you're a new trader, do you just say, okay, these are my finances, this is what I should do? Do you just not focus on it and you build up? What is a good way to go about income goals? That way you can have that piece of the freedom puzzle.
Well, Jess, if you don't mind, I'll just jump on first. There's an oversimplification, Jason, that we tend to gravitate towards as new traders. And that's just, hey, I want my account to grow. Of course you do. Of course you do. Everybody does. But right. The problem is, if you focus on that money, if that is your only target, then literally, if like shooting rifle, you're staring at the target when you should be looking at your front sights to make sure that they're aligned, right? So focus on your process, not the result. That income goal overall, it should be derived backwards planning from what you need to meet your monthlies is usually what I go for. Monthly is a good kind of, you know, middle ground between annualized and weekly or daily income. Most of us pay rent on a monthly basis and groceries are calculated, and it's just easiest to budget that way. So start with modest goals and then work your, once you take your system out into the live market and you can actually see the dollars and cents coming in, then you can set your particular income goals.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I would just jump on there and challenge people that are listening to actually question too, what it is they think they actually need each month. You know, it's important to be able to create enough income to where you don't necessarily have to worry about some of that stuff or it be a consideration. But as people that I see that have been successful transition from, say, a 9-to-5 type career to trading, there is places where you can tighten the belt or you can maybe just hold tight for a little bit. That way you can actually create that focus and focus solely on trading. So as that transition happens, it doesn't need to be a one-to-one. You make X amount of dollars or have X amount of bills this month, and you need to make that amount of money. Look at it more as a transition, because the more you're able to focus on trading and not have the distractions and eliminate distractions. And so if you're wanting to leave your 9-to-5 and you're wanting to trade, over time, at some point, there's going to be a tipping point to where is your focus? How do you want to spend your time? And so really kind of challenge that and realize that it can be a gradual thing. It doesn't need to be an abrupt, like I'm not leaving my job till I make the same amount of money as I make in my current job. Is that really necessary? Kind of going back to that focus thing you were talking about, Jason, or mentioned, it's really important because where we put our attention is what's going to grow or is what's going to have the most effect or the ability for you to grow the most is wherever you're putting your attention towards.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's powerful stuff. So let's take a step back. You both said you were in the military. Thank you for your service to the country. How did you start trading? How was that transition? How did you find trading?
For me, really, I was fortunate to have somebody in my life that was more on the investing side, but understood finances and understood money. So I actually started as a teenager saving for retirement, which I know is not kind of the common way to go. But
not at all.
through that process, I realized some that there's a lot of benefits from being a little bit more active than kind of a passive long-term investor. And over time, I just kind of was working, trying to figure things out as I went along, and moved gradually to shorter and shorter timeframes. 2008, 2009 timeframe happened, and I kind of thought that I had all my ducks in a row and was ready to take on any disasters that may occur. I thought I had a pretty good system, and I realized that it fell short in a few areas when 2008, 2009 happened. Luckily for me, you know, I wasn't wiped out. There were so many unfortunate things that happened during that time. I took a big hit, but you know, came back just fine. But I realized that I was lacking some skill sets. And so I seeked out other skill sets to be able to work towards that shorter term kind of day trading side of the house. So right now I do everything from long-term investing to short-term stock and options trading to day trading stocks and options as well too. So kind of created an ecosystem through that evolution.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, sometimes those hits, I think, are great learning lessons, and they expose things that are needed for the future. So that's awesome. Rob, how did you get started trading?
Well, I got out of the Marines in 2012. And really, without knowing it, my investments started about that same time frame Jess was talking about. 2009, I bought my first house. And you know, I didn't really know much about money. I didn't know about it growing up. And certainly when you're in the Marines, you're institutionalized, all your food, healthcare, all your pay is all taken care of for you. But I leveraged that VA loan. I got my first house, kind of at the bottom of the housing crisis, and I was able to see that appreciate. And it made me think, hey, maybe I can do this. So when I got out in 2012, I had owned the house for 3 years, and then, you know, I made a decent profit on that. Moved to Hawaii, met a very special individual, my coach and one of the founders of the Trader Genius Club. And he showed me the ropes, and I started with day trading options. So just started with the longer term. I started with the real short term. Oh, I took my lumps early on, you know, thought I was a big, bad, smartest guy in the room. Amazon and Priceline, you know, told me otherwise. So I got back to the basics, and I built it back up, starting with the SPY S&P 500 and just day trading that, and then adding more and more options, day trading, tickers to my basket, till I got up and running. And I actually added stock trading a couple years ago when, Trader Genius, came out with Genius Modes. Some of the best Stock Trader Genius and Investor Genius are some of the best tools out there for that. So I was able to expand my trading acumen kind of in the reverse order, going from the short-term stuff to the longer-term stuff.
That's awesome. It seems like the paths have kind of crossed in the middle there as you guys moved in different directions. So, you know, so I'm curious, because I know you guys both have military background. And as I do this show and as I study successful traders, I'm always curious about how their background plays into their trading success. So I want to ask about the military leading into trading. You guys have both mentioned that, you know, you are disciplined in the military. You also don't have a lot of freedom. When you bring that skill set into trading, is it an issue because you don't have someone telling you what to do? There's total freedom in the market, or does the discipline kind of take over and you're like, all right, you know what? I'm a disciplined person. I can handle, you know, what it requires for me to, you know, be successful and trade consistently profitable.
I think it really has helped in some aspects and really makes it tough in other aspects. So the discipline, these kind of systems approach that we take, where we know that our actions have consequences. You know, in the military, they were a lot different consequences than in trading, but we understand that, you know, going through and developing a skill set and doing the same thing repetitiously, that is going to be helpful to our overall mission, whether that's being on an objective in the military or whether that's trading. We both get that, you know, loud and clear on that. But what are the problems that at least I ran into was being in the military and you know, being in the U.S. military in particular, we can kind of enforce our will onto things and get them to move or change. And that is not the case when it comes to the overall market. So sometimes, especially when I started the shorter term trading, I realized that I can't influence the overall market. It's not going to bend to my will, and more is not necessarily better. So a lot of times, especially when you're just young in general, you know, more is better. Well, if I did 100 pushups, I'm going to shoot for 150 pushups, you know, that kind of mentality. Whereas with what I found with trading is an effective dose. So for me, I'm not interested, because I'm doing this for lifestyle, I'm not interested in being in front of the computer day trading options for the entire day. I usually trade about an hour at most in the day trading options market. And I really limit that to just a few trades or just a trade, depending on the market conditions, and just move on. Whereas when I first started trading, I thought, hey man, the more buying and selling, the better, you know, just keep clicking that button and good things will happen. And that's not always the case, because ultimately you're taking more risk the more times you expose your money to the market. So being effective and then knowing when to leave, those are probably the two biggest hurdles that I had as it related to trading, because I got smacked on the nose quite a few times when I was first starting out.
Gotcha.
Jason, this is why I love, you know, hanging out with Jess, because he always puts it in such a succinct way. Yeah, definitely. We can't influence the outcome of the mission here the way we could in a combat environment. And one of the biggest things that I, you know, I've struggled with, or traders that I coach struggle with, is it's really the ease of access to the stock market. It's never been more accessible. Stocks, options, Forex, crypto, you name it. We've got this fintech at our fingertips. And we can, with a single click of my mouse, I can be in a $5,000 options position in a heartbeat, and I get filled. That ease of access is actually somewhat of an illusion, because it makes us think that it's not a risky environment, when it really, in fact, is. So that's where it's more of like a hybrid between the combat experience of trigger discipline and, you know, treating that mouse button as sacred. That is your trigger. Or for me, dropping a bomb off, you know, 500,000 pound bomb off an aircraft onto a target, you got to be really careful with that. So a hybrid of that, and then the business side of it, and treating it as a business process. There's inputs and then there's outputs. If you can look at it as in that objective sense, and as Jess was saying, have every single time you click, have it advance you, or have give yourself the best chance of advancing one step towards mission accomplishment. That's the way to frame it and treat it as a business. And, you know, if you were selling shingles door to door, you know, or going selling new roofs, you would have a certain approach. And you wouldn't expect every single, you know, attempt at cultivating new business to work out for you, but you would get better over time. You'd learn as you go. And that's exactly the way I take towards my trading process and the way that I coach and mentor other folks to do.
Yeah, those are powerful answers. And that trigger discipline to mouse discipline, that really resonates with me, makes a lot of sense there. So you talked about kind of that mental aspect and what your background has brought to trading. I want to just ask the question that I asked every guest, and it's the technical aspect versus the psychology of trading. Of course, we have to be technically sound before we can even deal with the psychology, but what would each of you say the percentage of successful trading is when you compare psychology to technical, if you could give that in a percentage, and feel free to elaborate.
80 to 90 plus percent is psychology. Technical is important. You got to have the right tools, but you're the one that's perceiving those tools. So there has to be an understanding of what those tools are and the perspective with which they were built. You know, how can they be effective for you, or are they even worth considering? But those tools are, depending on what you're using, but we'll just talk specifically to Trader Genius, those tools are way more consistent than you or I or Rob could ever be. Those tools are consistently just doing their thing. They're just reading data and painting the chart. So they're going to be consistent. The big question is, can you tune yourself to be as consistent or nearly as consistent as those tools are in your behavior and your decision making. So most, what I've found, generally speaking, most traders, it is psychology that ends up limiting them. So all the way from the beginning, from somebody that's just learning how to trade, I've seen folks get paralyzed because the stock market has, there's so many different ways to skin the cat in the stock market, and everybody's got their trick or their indicator or whatever it is, that it can be overwhelming, and it's its own language. I mean, when I remember when I first started out trading, you know, two decades ago, just trying to understand what a short was or understand a call or just what's a stop limit market order, you know, all this yeah. kind of stuff. Trying to figure out that language, and I see a lot of people get paralyzed because of their own psychology, because they're trying to, they think or they perceive that they need to consume as much information as possible before they can ever become successful. And ultimately, that's just overwhelming a system with too much information, and they end up doing nothing. Or I see them get to the point where they're ready to start, and they are trying to pull every indicator that they find or every YouTuber's thoughts into their trading system, and their system just can't handle it. You know, they have too many components or too many elements within their system, and it just can't be processed in a manner that's that allows for consistency. And so that's just looking at the information in and of itself, let alone people's relationship to money, their family's relationship to money. So how their parents perceived money and what wealthy people or people that were perceived to have money, you know, they had to have wronged somebody. I've heard multiple people say that, that, you know, anybody that's got money had to have taken advantage of somebody to get it. So these kind of ideas and these paradigms, they get brought into the trading room, whether you're doing stocks, crypto, Forex, day trading, whatever it is, all this stuff gets brought in, and most people don't get an opportunity to have the awareness to begin challenging some of those ideas and deciding what they want to accept in their life and what they don't want to accept in their life as far as their perceptions of who they are, where they can go with this, what other people are saying about, you know, what they're doing, all that kind of stuff. And that takes the most of the work. At the end of the day, you're the one behind the trigger, you're the one behind the mouse clicks. And if you're not in alignment, then the mouse clicks are going to be off. You know, ultimately, it's just about making the right decision to buy and making the right decision to sell. But if you're not in the right place and you don't have the right mindset, then that's going to be off. There's a quote, and I'm not even going to pretend that I'm going to get it quoted correctly. Okay. But the hardest battlefield ever fought is the hardest battlefield ever fought on is the 10 inches between your ears. And oh, yeah. I have found that to be exceedingly true throughout my time trading and just throughout my life thus far.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, Jason, I mean, I think it does vary by the style of trading that you're going for. I know since I've started stock trading over the last couple of years, it's a little bit slower pace, and I don't have as jumpy of an approach to those two same decision-making points, the entry and the exit. That's really all we have to do as trading business CEOs. But, you know, to Jess's point, like, it's overwhelmingly the mindset, because that's what it is. It's our go, no-go decisions. Do I pull the trigger or do I not? And there is a reward system that's up in our hardwiring in our brains. We have dog and frog brains back there. And that automation is tuned to the environment that we're in. And as I was saying before, if your only measurement is, did I make money on this trade, then you're really shortchanging your trading business because you're not looking at the process that went into producing that result. The money's just a byproduct. So if you say good trades are when I gain money, bad trades are when I lose money, and you keep it that overly simplistic, that linear correlation between your actions and the consequences, you're setting yourself up for failure because you're reinforcing that reward system in your head that says, hey, you know, I feel good. I got this cascade of like endorphins and stuff that comes when I make a gain, especially a big gain. So I'm going to hunt for those big gains. I don't like the feeling when I take a loss because it feels like somebody just shot my dog, or I just lost a loved one, you know, one of my Marine buddies or something. That same, it invokes that same chemical rush in your head. And so you're feeding that reward system and you're reinforcing it. So instead, getting organized and treating it like a business, you can take that slow, steady approach and, you know, solve 90% of the problem, which is, like Jess said, what's between your ears, by giving yourself that quality feedback and giving yourself what you need to do better on the next trade and beyond. It's not about that last trade. It's about looking forward. What am I going to do so that my actions are in line with my mission on the next trade and further down the road?
Yeah, and that's great stuff. And both of you have mentioned the mindset and that being a huge part. So you've talked about just the transition from the military, but I want to really kind of bring it out in a separate section. What would you guys say that some of the biggest hurdles that you faced on your trading journey?
I would say for me is Rob had mentioned a little bit about it, but kind of the institutionalization for me, you know. Society has a certain idea of what you should be and how you should behave. The education has a certain idea of how you should be and how you should behave. And we get rewarded for that. You know, I have a master's degree, so I spend a lot of time in education. I also spend a lot of time being institutionalized through city, county, government, state, federal work, as well as the private sector. And, you know, you get rewarded for these things. And so you think it's the right way to go. And I'm not saying it's the wrong way to go, but you don't really get exposed to these other ideas and these other concepts. And you watch other people do it and you say, well, that's just them. Or they had a leg up because somebody gave them money, or I don't know. I've heard all sorts of things, and I thought things as well to myself when I'm seeing the freedom that can be created through entrepreneurship, trading, et cetera, and always wondering, you know, what is that all about and how are those people able to do it? Because I think that, you know, I work hard and I get rewarded with a paycheck, maybe a bonus, and, you know, you keep working hard over time and you get to move up the corporate ladder. Or the government ladder. And it took me quite a few years to start to realize that at the end of the day, in those situations, I'm attaching myself to this horse, whether it's the corporation or whether it's my boss, hoping that my boss likes me and is favorable. So then when somebody retires, I'm able to have an opportunity to interview for that position, but at the same time, you need to be politically placed in a sense that the people that above you like you. It's not really so much a merit of just your hard work all the time.
Right.
And so it took a long time for me to kind of unwind from the training, we'll say, at a young age, unwind from that training of the normal societal path or what's deemed the right way, get a job, get your 401k, work till you're 65, retire, and whatever you have, and that's the life you're going to have for the next, whatever, 20 years. And realize that there's other ways to think and perceive that are more beneficial for what suits me as a person. Because I have been trading for so long. And looking back, I realized that with the right inputs and the right focus, this life that I've created for me now could have started decades earlier had I just had the time and the focus, and had somebody, a mentor, to help me with the awareness and how to perceive things differently. That was probably my biggest hurdle when I look back on it. Overall, with just trading specific, I think my biggest hurdle was wanting to be right instead of getting it right. Kind of going in with that idea of I'm going to influence my will on the market from a stock trading perspective. You know, somebody's taking they're in a losing position, and they keep scaling into that position because they've convinced themselves that it's at a lower price, so it's actually cheaper than when I bought it. I still believe it's going to go up, so I'm going to keep buying it so I can be right in the end instead of focusing on process, like Rob had mentioned. That process and focusing on that process and not trying to be right, but get it right. That was probably the biggest single hurdle for me, specifically to just trading itself.
And for, that's good call about being right versus getting it right. And Jason, in your mission statement, you know, you mentioned the systematic approach, and Jess and I both have that too. What doesn't fit with systems, and my bugaboo that I had to overcome was aggressiveness. That comes directly from the Marine Corps, and it plays right into the ego-driven decision making that Jess was just talking about. The biggest adaptation, though, is actually kind of hidden within that. It's, you know, I get this gambler mentality where I'm sabotaging myself, but it really derives from the fact that I'm used to a very challenging environment, making calm, cool, collected decisions under duress of combat. However, there is a big physical component to combat and to Marine Corps training, even not even in, you know, in a deployed area of operations, but it's that lacks here in trading. It is all just kind of cognitive. It's all between your ears. So what's missing from that analogy I used before, as far as trigger discipline, is you get a little recoil in your shoulder when you fire your rifle, and it instantaneously impresses upon your entire system that you have just done something powerful. The little click of the mouse and maybe a little ringtone on your desktop does not do that same thing. So you have to train yourself in that direction. And to be able to control that aggressiveness, because you can start to think that you're God once, and we shortchange the tools. The tools are super important. And if you go to tradergenius.com/our tools, you can see, some of the best tools that we use to make these decisions, but it's not going to do it all for you. You still have to make those decisions. And my tendency to be aggressive and try to affect the situation was definitely the biggest hurdle that I had overcome, brother.
Yeah. And I have two follow-ups on both of those questions for each of you. Phenomenal answers. And so, Rob, first, when you talk about the aggression, were you, you know, entering too fast? Were you lot sizes or quantity sizes too big? What do you mean by aggression? And what would be like the first step for someone who's having similar issues to move in another direction?
Well, the number one recognition factor, Jason, I mean, you're a day trader as well. What happens when you have a big gain? What is your mindset right after a big gain?
Oh yeah, you feel great.
You feel fantastic. And for me, that's where the aggression really took hold. And I became a victim of my own success. So it was like a let it ride, literally a gambler's mentality is what would work its way into like a little earwig getting inside my brain. And that's where it would stem from. And I traced that back. Luckily, I discovered that through my trade log, through some active trade journaling. Really, it opens your eyes. And that's the point of your log, is to gain awareness. So overconfidence, victim of my own success. And I would think that, like I said, like it gives you kind of a God complex when you have these powerful tools that show you the obvious trends. You start to manufacture trades that aren't there, especially in day trading of options. It happens so fast. And so I would get in with the, it would go from one gain to the second one, maybe I'm up or I'm down, and then it would just spiral out and it would become this predictive mess saying, well, I think it's gonna, and I feel like it's gonna. And as soon as I start having those thoughts, I know I'm in gambler mode, and that's no-go territory. And you got to shut down. You got to have the discipline to walk away from the computer sometimes.
Yeah. And just to each his own, of course, but if someone's listening, if they're that person that says, you know what, this is not for me, and they want to get off the paved road and take the path that's less traveled, what would you say would be one powerful step to breaking societal norms and going against the, you know, mom told me to do it this way, or my friends think I'm crazy for trying this? What would be one powerful step to take in that direction?
I think the biggest step is to challenge what you think that you know is true. So, for example, I used to think because of what I was told and what I believed and what I perceived in my environment, that if you can do something, you should do it. And what ended up happening in that situation for me was I was trying to do everything. Everything that I possibly could. I'm really big into the outdoors. So you pretty much name an outdoor pursuit, I was doing it. And what ended up happening through that process was I was doing everything so much that I was not actually getting good or developing the skill of that particular thing. And it became a checkbox. So each weekend, I'm like, oh man, I haven't climbed in a while, so I better go do that. Oh, I haven't kayaked in a while, better go do that. Oh, I haven't competed in a triathlon for a while, better go do that. And so I was running around trying to do everything, thinking that I was going somewhere with it, and I wasn't actually going anywhere. I was just like a mouse or a gerbil on a wheel. And it wasn't until I had somebody in my life that really challenged that thought. And I was able to move the ego out of the way with all my sense of accomplishment and all my ribbons and all my trophies and all this other things that I was told at a young age, that this is how you gain success, is by accumulating items of success, whether that's the diploma or the ribbon or whatever it is. And so I was living my whole life that way. And so taking the time to move some of that stuff out that you hold to be true, and create space for you to actually think of it in a way of questioning it instead of just accepting it. We get most of our decision-making and most of these paradigms handed down to us through our parents and through society, and yeah, we just accept them as true. When you get a little bit older and you've got some life underneath your belt, and I'm not saying super old, you can have the awareness in your late teens, early 20s, at least begin to have some sort of ability to question these norms and actually try and look at it from a different way. So really, in a nutshell, is question your own thoughts. Take the time each day to really recognize what you're thinking about and how you're thinking about those things, and challenge those ideas.
That is awesome. And so I want to talk about you guys going from traders to becoming leaders in Trader Genius. But before we go there, I've heard you guys mention something two or three times. So I really want to dive in. I think this is a powerful message that that you guys are mentioning. Rob, you had talked about meeting a mentor when you were in another state there. And then Jess, you said you should have had a mentor earlier. And then you talked about someone challenged you to grow, and that kind of had a transition. So my question is, how does a new trader, or anyone just in life in general wanting to grow, how do they, one, find a mentor? And two, how do they qualify a mentor? Because I know you guys are strong on distractions and avoiding those, and there's a lot of distractions out there. So how do you find and qualify a mentor?
I think that really there's two questions. Well, so first, to be able to find a mentor, is finding a source where that individual has your best interest in mind. So not everybody that's on YouTube necessarily has your best interest in mind. They may be there for different reasons than truly helping you out or whatever, whether it's on the news or whoever it is. They may be... they may be there as entertainers, not as people who truly want to help you. And there's really two ways or two questions that I think people should ask when trying to find a mentor. One is this person that I'm looking at, do they have the lifestyle skill set that I'm looking for? So that's kind of the first question. And then the second question is, the people that they've already mentored or the people that are around them, did that mentor's ability translate to these other individuals? Because there's a lot of people out there that are mentors that have the right idea and they may have the skill set, but they're not able to transfer that skill set to the people that they're mentoring.
Yeah.
And vice versa. There's people out there that maybe don't quite have the skill set per se, but they have a really good way of transitioning their knowledge to other people. So looking at them as individuals and getting to know them, as well as the people that are closest to them that have been mentored by them, how are they doing as well too? So I really think looking at those two aspects would help somebody find, you know, a good solid person to kind of take them under their wing.
Yeah, good call, Jess. And you know, as Jason, as far as finding a mentor, like when Jess was answering, I Googled a trading mentor. And so if you're going to rely on Google's algorithm or YouTube, which is also Google,
right,
there are pages upon pages of folks who are available a lot of times for cost, as Jess was saying, who are willing to be your mentor. But mentor is a very sacred relationship because there has to be an implicit level of trust there. So unless you know somebody close to you that you already trust, it's going to be a little more difficult to find somebody and cultivate that trust. So number one, our bodies are the best feedback mechanisms we got. If your spidey senses, if you will, are going off when you meet somebody who says they'll coach or mentor you, you know, that high alert should tell you something. And find, you don't have to stop at the first person you find. Find the one that clicks. And as far as the style of mentoring that's going to fit best for you, there are a lot of different stripes out there. So find the way that works for you and use as your measurement whether the methodology that you're being that's being imparted to you sticks. Is it working, as Jess said? And can you clearly see the path to success? So, you know, when I'm coaching, I make it a really, really clear point to link, hey, what you're doing right now, you got your, you know, faces in the trees, but I tell my students, hey, this is the forest. This is where you are on your journey and you still have a lot of work to go or you're almost there. But keeping it all relative and the way, that coaching or mentoring, is most effective is the same way that military training was effective for us. Drill, drill, drill. And a practice-based approach to and hopefully you're using a simulator, not the live market and actually paying tuition out there, but instead a drilled repetition-based skill developing and cultivating methodology that lets you learn from one repetition at a time and then build up a large enough sample size and you're going to get that skill set down if you're giving it the attention that it requires. The deception is that, you know, that we all have in our heads is that we can be taught something and then we'll know how to do it. Well, cramming and all that kind of studying that is part of higher education, it just doesn't work the same way for a practice-based, you know, application like trading. So it has to be done by the individual. And so it's on the pupil to come at it with just as much zeal and zest and get after it mentality as their coach or mentor. But it has to be your individual work because that's what's going to speak to that mindset and really inform your mindset over time and over a large sample size of repetitions.
Yeah, I definitely can get that. And, you know, from the events that I've attended and the videos I've watched of you guys, you definitely are one of the top tier of what Jess mentioned as the people who are on different spectrums of mentorship. And you have the skill set, but you also do a great job of delivering your message. Can you talk a little bit about that transition? When and how did you go from, okay, I'm trading, I'm going towards personal freedom, and then all of a sudden you guys are leaders in the industry and you're helping others? What was that transition like?
Well, I'll jump in, Jess, since I'm already here, brother. Jason, it was not like overnight, but I have a training background in the Marine Corps in my contracting days. And so I've always enjoyed bringing other people up around me. And once you quote unquote solve the problem and you get your own system up and running, I mean, you felt it. Like some days you're done in 15 minutes in the day trading options world. What the heck are you going to do with the rest of your day?
For sure.
if you're actually pushing towards a lifestyle that's meaningful, I choose, you know, you can choose whatever you want. It's completely a personal choice, but I choose to bring up those around me. And I found a club and some badass people in Trader Genius that allowed me to do so. And I eventually worked my way up to the head coach there. And so it's really about giving people a do-it-yourself kit to cultivate the lifestyle that they want. And I get so much meaning out of that beyond the dollars and cents of my own trading. That's where what's really meaningful to me. And, you know, these people become like a second family, and that's what my club mates are. You know, Jess, I call them my brother for a reason. You know, it's no mistake. Jess, what about you, brother?
Yeah, that transition is definitely not overnight. But at the end of the day, I think everybody, when they start to reach a level of success, whatever that has been defined for them, you can have the idea that I've made it, I'm done. And that's a comfort-based decision. Or you can say, well, I've gone this far, why stop now? And that's more of a growth-type mentality decision. And when I realized at a certain point that, hey, this is actually doable, I'm making this a reality in my life. And, you know, like Rob said, it can be rather short. I day trade options about an hour a day. Stock trading only takes me about an hour a week, and my investing takes me about an hour a month. So we've got plenty of free time to do other things. And really having that growth mentality that, hey, I've gone this far, I've made it to this level, things can even be better. You know, it's kind of like the more you know, the more awareness you gain that there's actually less that you know. And so kind of growing on that growth path, and it's changed my life. It's changed my life. It's changed my wife's life. It's changed my kids' life. It's going to perpetually change their life because they're growing up in a significantly different environment than both me and my wife had grown up in. So being able to see the impacts of that and wanting to share that and wanting to be able to, like Rob said, bring those up around me, because I was so lost or in such a struggle for you know, almost two decades, not quite, but almost two decades of, you know, my late teen, early adult life of, man, this just doesn't make sense to me what everybody else is doing. And to actually having a formula that's successful, that is a different avenue that worked for me. And if it worked for me, then there's other people out there with those same kind of ideas or struggles. And I don't want them to have to spend two decades trying to figure it out on their own. I want them to know that it's possible. We're in this age now where, you know, information is so obtainable. When I was growing up, I just got excited to go to the library once a week, you know, and that was when I got all my questions answered, you know. Right. And now with the advent of computers and all these other things, we can share knowledge and share ideas and grow at such a more rapid pace. And just through that process, you know, being able to be a part of Trader Genius and eventually becoming a sponsored trader with Trader and Genius and being able to share these concepts and ideas with other folks. I mean, that's way more rewarding than clicking a mouse a few times a day to check that financial box. This part of what we do is why I get up in the morning. This is what fuels me to continue to get better and to continue to grow.
That's really cool. And so there are three I guess I would say foundational things that you guys talk about within Trader Genius. So I want to deep dive into Trader Genius, but I want to hit these 3 points first. You guys teach individuals to create their own systems. What would you say are the key components to building your own trading system?
It's got to start with the intent. And so that speaks to the mindset. We've covered that a lot, Jason, but that has to be the source. Like, what are you actually trading for? And so the purpose of your trading system, for me, that is income generation, is to pay my monthly bills and any overages I go, you know, feed to my stock trading system, or I put them in separate accounts for vacations and home improvement projects, stuff like that. So it starts right there, but I'd say the most essential part is the rules you make around the risk principles. For us, there are 9 of them, and they're pretty darn easy to use. And there are some, you know, training wheels that you get as part of the coaching course. But that's it. The rules, make them non-negotiable and make them as simple as possible. Like any system, the more complex it gets, the harder it is for us to command it. And that's, so it needs to be no more difficult than driving a car. All the tools that Jess talked about, they're giving you human behavior in a two-dimensional format, and that's it. So things are either moving up or down or sideways. There's really only 3 kind of situations you can have going on. Make that as easy as red, yellow, and green lights. If you can simplify your trading decisions to that point and use your rules to be and non-negotiably follow your rules, don't be a rebel. But if you can do that, then trading becomes as easy as I keep my foot on the brake until I see a clear green light situation. Then I'll proceed through the intersection. And you do so because you know it's in your best interest. You know, if you inch out of that intersection and you try to take a risk on a red light or even a yellow light, there's a chance you're going to get T-boned and you're going to have to pay the price. So associate those actions of today with the results of tomorrow and operate each and every trade with the intent of, if it's a green light, I'm going. But unless it's obvious, I'm not.
And that's awesome. Yeah, go ahead, Jess.
I was just going to say, on that same note, what Rob's saying in a nutshell is manage your risk and preserve your capital. And you want to create a system that allows you to do that while at the same time being able to safely interact with the market and grow your account. So if anybody has any kids out there, when they're babies and they're starting to learn how to walk, you don't just give them free rein of anything anywhere, right? You create the environment that allows them to be able to explore while at the same time being able to stay safe and being able to grow in that environment. And so with building a trading system is having your indicators developed in a way and work in alignment with one another to allow you to get a picture of risk. We can't predict the market. Anybody who ends up being able to do that successfully is going to change the market as we know it entirely. So the market's going to do what the market's going to do. And all we can do is manage our risk and understand where we fall in a risk tolerance level. And everybody kind of falls in a different spot, whether you're more conservative or more aggressive with your risk. But being able to have a set amount of indicators that allow you to keep it simple, but allow you, when you combine those indicators, to have a consistent evaluation of risk. So when you enter that, you can know, hey, 8 out of 10 trades are successful over a batch of 1,000 trades or whatever it is, and be able to grow from there and learn from there, because the environment of the market is one of the greatest places that I've learned to grow through and with, because there's consequences to your actions. And in day trading, it's immediate. Investing, it's obviously a little bit longer of a loop to get that feedback. But creating a system that allows you to get a consistent evaluation of risk, so then you can make consistent behavioral decisions based on your risk tolerance.
And that's good stuff. And you know, one thing that I witnessed was, like Rob said, the simplicity, and it was with what you talked about, Jess, was the indicators. And I know when I attended the meetup with you guys, you said, okay, I'm going to throw some indicators on, and before the sentence is done, they're already up there. And then you asked for individuals to give their own entry rules and exit rules, and you implemented those in a simple fashion. And I know I've been on webinars where that process, they would have to go back to coding, or they'd have to do a lot of other steps. So I definitely appreciate how you guys hit on simplicity when developing that plan. You also talk about being your own hedge fund. What does that mean?
Yeah, being your own hedge fund means that you're actively managing your own money. So a lot of people, we offload that responsibility to just passive kind of mutual funds and say, okay, Vanguard, Schwab, whatever. You know, I want to be in a large cap stock and a small cap stock or whatever it is. Or you get a little bit, somebody who's a little bit more active, you know, Edward Jones or some of those other folks that are going to be actively managing your money. And so you're not having to do it. And there is a lot of fear. There's a lot of confusion. The market is this ethereal place where it's kind of smoke and mirrors. And you don't always have a clear idea of what the market is or how to interact with the market. And with Trader Genius, what's been created is a system that is intuitive and simple in design and in user function. So somebody with very little knowledge of the market, with a little bit of training, a little bit of understanding, can get up and running and be effective in the market in a relatively short amount of time. Because all the wizardry is behind the screen. So you had mentioned the indicators that we were talking about. The indicators are binary. Either they're on or they're off. There's no interpretation that needs to happen. All of the complex math, all the algorithms, all that stuff is all behind those colors. So green, momentum in the upward direction, red, momentum in the downward direction. You can read a stoplight. You can use the tools. We don't question, well, what math did they use to make that stoplight a red stoplight when you're driving to the grocery store? Right. I don't really believe the red. I'm just going to go ahead and move into the intersection. No, we put the brake on, man. We stop our vehicle. We stop our trading vehicle when we see the indicators that are saying high risk, and we put our foot on the gas on our trading vehicle when we see the low risk scenario. So when we go through a stoplight and it's green, should we not still be looking to the left and right as we move into that intersection? We should be. We sometimes don't, because we just kind of take it as a given. But there's still risk involved, and we should be looking to the left and right, but we can go through it with confidence. And so really having those indicators and that simplicity in the background allows people to interact with the market.
And Jason, I mean, just nailed it. I mean, that's the concept of being your own hedge fund manager. But just to add to what Jess is saying, and you know, to preface it, I guess, a little bit in the overall, there's two key things I think that come with that paradigm. And you're a systematic trader, so you understand that each system has a paradigm. So if your system has the paradigm of being your own hedge fund manager, number one, it doesn't have to be risky. That term there, it implies that you're going to be doing some high risk moves, you know, a lot of leverage. It doesn't have to be that way. So the reason the tools do matter, or one of the many reasons, is you choose the collection of tools that are going to complement your risk tolerance the best. And as Jess said, enable you to manage your risk, most effectively, efficiently, and wisely. So that's what the tools help you do. They present information. You make decisions based off of that information. The other thing about being your own hedge fund manager, yeah, it sounds pretty sexy. It's cool on like a business card if you want to do that. But realize a lot of times, you know, Jason, when you hear the term hedge fund, you're probably thinking the big fellas over on Wall Street, right?
Right.
And to use, you know, an expression from 100 years ago in the stock market, they swing a big line. That means they're moving massive, you know, amounts of funds, and they can use leverage, and they can actually influence the prices of shares in the stock market. As retail traders, small, agile guys, we're on a speedboat, not an ocean liner like those big hedge funds. So we're the little fish. And that's part, an essential part of the paradigm and the mindset of coming into systematic trading as a small retail investor is, yeah, you can be a hedge fund and operate, manage your own money the same way and do so independently and be successful, but you can't influence the market the way the really big fish can out there that are your traditional hedge funds.
Right. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. So we talked about being your own hedge fund. We also talked about creating your own system. And so the number three point that I think you guys hit on well is treating trading like a business. What does that look like when it's done? Or maybe even when it's neglected, what does that look like in a trading business?
Well, it's, you know, when you look at trading, you are your own CEO. You're the decision maker. You're also your own supplier, and you're also your own customer. And so you have a lot of freedom in that, but there's a lot of responsibility in that as well too. So let's say you run a business that, you know, doesn't have some good business practices in the background, but you've got a product that people just love and they don't care. So they can end up driving that business to success. Well, you don't have that luxury because you are your own customer. You're your own shop. Similarly, if you have a really good ran business, but you don't have a product that anybody wants, then your business is not going to go anywhere. And so you got to have both sides of the coin. And with trading, you get to be in charge of all of that. In addition, all your successes and all your failures fall squarely on your shoulders. And so treating it like a business means give it the same care and attention and follow through. You know, we talk about the only decisions you need to make is buying and selling. It's a simple two clicks of the mouse and you're in and you're out.
Right.
But there's more that goes into that, just like a business. So if you run a coffee shop, having a successful coffee shop isn't just about taking money and giving somebody coffee or a Danish or whatever. There's supply that you need to pay attention to. There's keeping the books. There's balancing the amount of inventory that you have with the amount of customers, especially if you're in the fresh baked goods business, right? You don't want stuff that nobody's going to buy stuff that's a day, 2 day, 3 day old, right? That's the stuff that goes on sale for 50% on the counter in a little basket. So being able to give it the same care and time and attention and focus that a successful business owner gives their business, and that's the entirety of it. So specifically to trading, for me, is the mindset work and the pre-trade ritual and the actual analysis that I go through before I start trading or before I decide to purchase some stocks. All the way down to keeping track of the dollars and cents, keeping track of my trades. And then in addition to that, we talk about the trade log, but there's a component to the trade log where you're actually summarizing what's going on, why did you make those decisions, and what lessons learned so you can grow from them. So being your own business, being your own trading business is be focused. Give it the time, attention, and love that you would your own business. It's not a game. And for me personally, at given times throughout my process, before I started treating like a business, I would skimp on some of those things. So I would trade outside a process and I would take a flyer, or I heard something on the news, or somebody told me something, or I had a belief that something was going to go. And so I would trade outside a process, or I would not log my trade. So I go through a period of time where I don't even know if I'm up or if I'm down. And I haven't even figured out. There's no remark section. There's no lessons learned. So again, I wasn't growing. I wasn't going anywhere. And what we see happens probably the most when people don't treat trading like a business and give it the focus and attention that it needs is we continue to just operate in the same decision-making loops. So we tend to not be able to identify drift in our trading or moving away from process. And we fall back into some of these old paradigms that we were talking about our relationship with money or allowing ego to get involved or wanting to be right instead of getting it right. Some of those ideas start to creep back in that we don't even recognize. And then by the time we self-correct, we've already taken a pretty decent hit in that trading account. And we start to improve, and then we start to drop off. And it's just kind of that same loop or same cycle that a lot of people fall into. That's why it's so important to treat trading like a business.
Yeah, I really resonate with that drift part because there's times where I just got away from the log or the journaling. And then you just slowly but surely start to move away from the foundation. And next thing you know, you're off in the woods like, oh, man, I got to get back to the foundation. So that's great stuff. Rob, what would you say as far as, treating your trading like a business? What's your take on that?
Yeah, just as hitting it. And that's a good point, Jason. Like that drift really does happen, and it happens in your habits. And it can happen in unforeseen ways. So as Jess was kind of building towards, like, the organizational skills are critical to you managing your trading business. It doesn't have to be overly complex, but you do need to stay organized, and you can't be lazy. No successful business owner out there is lazy. So realize you're a small business. You need to be agile, and you need to adapt and have an open mind to what works and what doesn't. So the best guidance I can give from my own personal experience and seeing a lot of, new traders or experienced traders really buckle down and get organized is get specific with what you're looking for, because we can all say, I want to open up this shop. It's going to sell smoothies and bagels, and we're going to have pizza at night and beer and whatever. Okay. But get specific. The best businesses, the ones that get the best repeat customers, they know what they're getting when they come in there. So, like, I don't know, Jason, like, you're in the Denver area. Is there a pizza shop that just does it right every single time?
Yeah, Anthony's around here. We just had yesterday. They're pretty good.
Okay, beautiful. And they're reliable. They're consistent, right?
Yeah, always taste the same.
And you know what you're getting from Apple or Starbucks or Home Depot even, right? So the successful business models are all around you. You just have to dial that into trading. So I know for me, day trading stock options, more often than not, I'm sitting on the break. I'm not in a trade. I'm not hunting for trades. I only do a handful at most every day. And I'm looking for a very specific, powerful trend with a handful of indicators illuminating it and painting my chart, and with good market support and room to run before the next resistance or support. The parameters are very specifically defined, and that's what you need to dial your trading system into. And that's what successful business owners do. So think of it however you want. Jess and I had a meeting with our fellow Trader Genius members. We do reset training every 2 weeks, and we talked about that. If you're a baker, dial in that one specific little pastry that sells like hotcakes, and it performs in every season of your, winter, summer, fall, day and night. So whatever your scone or your muffin is, dial that muffin in so that it's consistently effective and you know how to specifically do it each and every day when you execute your trading process.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And with the level of experience you two have, combined, your trading experience could rent a car. So I want to talk about some things that you've seen on the path here. We talked about not treating it like a business, and that could be detrimental. Why do traders quit? What other reasons have you seen where guys kind of fall off? Because even with the great systems, either with the support of Trader Genius, we still have a 85 to 95% failure rate in this business. What have you guys seen as far as the main reasons traders give up on their dreams in trading?
Well, I think we've probably seen, kind of the gamut between the two of us. Yeah. But, specifically to the trading environment, I'll speak specifically to the trading environment, and then Rob can expand on that as well, is three things kind of need to be in alignment And that's your tools and a trust in those tools, your system and a trust in those system or a confidence in that system, and you as the trader, you as the behavior decision-making component of trading. And when new people are starting out, I tend to see a lack of one of those three categories. And now I'm just speaking specifically to the trading environment and not any of the external stuff that that happens.
Okay.
But people that don't trust the tools tend to build a system on on an unstable foundation, because they're not actually relying on the tools, and maybe they think that they know better, or whatever the reason is, that they don't end up sticking to their system. The other thing that I see is people not developing a system. So they jump on a meme stock, or they have some success with a handful of stocks. But maybe that was during a time when the overall market is just pushing everything up. So you almost can't get it wrong because everything's moving up. And then they start to hit some issues with their trading when that market environment ceases to exist and changes to something that's a little less helpful to just throwing a dart at the market and having something go up. And then probably the biggest one is trust in your own decision making, and allowing ego and fear and hope to creep in, which then when that starts to creep in, I see a lot of traders begin to doubt the tools, begin to doubt themselves, and ultimately begin to doubt their ability or their system's ability to get them to where they want to go. And they end up moving on to something else. So usually one of those three components leads to a detriment of all three of those components if it's not managed appropriately. But Rob, you want to expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, it always boils down to the behavioral level, and overwhelmingly, it's a failure to adapt. I mean, Jason, man, like, what's easier, staying the same, keep doing what you're doing, or adapt and overcome when there's a challenge?
Yeah, change is always difficult.
It burns calories. It takes, you know, minutes, seconds, hours, and it's not meant to be easy. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy just because it's simple. So there's a mistake there. There's kind of fooling yourself into believing that you can be a drive-by trader, or you probably heard this expression, play around in the stock market, something like that.
Yeah.
If you come at it with that mentality, then you've already failed, and you've set yourself up for failure at least, because it's not something that's going to get better over time. In fact, it's going to get worse, because you're going to get stuck in a fear greed cycle, and you're going to be gun shy to. So you're going to take, like, every time you have a gain, you're going to tap out at 2% because you don't want to feel that regret of losing or that pain of losing. And every time you're down big, you're like, oh, I don't want it to get worse. So you tap out. So you take these big losses and these little tiny gains, and before you know it, your trading account has evaporated. You can work all that out in the simulator if you practice high volume and practice the right way. That's the antidote, is the familiarity and building that trust that Jess was just elaborating on, through your practice and through that self-discovery of staying organized and using that trading log. But the failure to adapt is often because you just don't know what to do. You don't know how to do your homework and practice right. So that links back to why a mentor is important, or the right mentor for you. And the due diligence, you know, don't underestimate how much attention this is going to require. It's not going to have, to, you know, it's going to be like, not going to be like a newborn baby, but it is going to be like a newborn business. So prepare. If you're going to start a trading business, give it the same amount of time as you would give to a startup, you know, pub or a restaurant. It's going to take you and some elbow grease and some, you know, some growing pains to get through it and get up and sustainable. But it's well worth it. The payoff is magnificent if you can have the discipline to stick to it that way.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, because when Jess highlighted on you know, trusting yourself. And then that piggybacks on the work you have to put in that you mentioned, Rob, to build that trust. I think it would be very difficult to do something if you don't trust it, you know, and think that it's going to be faulty, especially when those emotions hit. But at the same time, you know, traders, we come into this business and we think that there's going to be success overnight. And I think that kind of eats on the trust. So I think that was a powerful answer from you guys. But going down that line, you know, traders come in, we think we're going to, you know, be millionaires next month. What other fallacies have you guys seen versus reality, or even in your own path? What did you think about trading when you started versus having this much experience?
You know, for me personally, I thought once I figured it out, I was going to be there. It was going to be easy all the time. And trading can be very simple, but it requires maintenance. You don't ever actually arrive and then can kind of rest on your laurels. The fear and the greed and the hope, it's always going to be there. I mean, it's ingrained into us as human beings. I mean, this is the stuff that allowed us to go from, you know, discovering fire and creating the wheel to where we are right now. I mean, if we were always just comfortable, we wouldn't have all these advances in life.
Very true.
It's because people are out there trying to problem solve situations that have affected them personally, or that they have seen a problem or observed a problem out there that needed to be solved. And lots of times that emotion is what creates the thought that then turns into action. And for me, I thought once I got to trading and that I would conquer and put fear and greed and hope in their cages and they would never come out again. That is not true.
And right.
Being able to grow with it and utilizing it as a growth opportunity, going back to that whole idea of reflecting on your own thoughts and your own ideas and really listening to that self-talk, trading really allows you to tune into that. And it doesn't have to be, you know, in an intense environment like day trading. Even with stock trading or investing, you can use those environments to learn and grow because, like I said, you never arrive to an end destination. It is something that is going to continue and it requires maintenance, just like a business does. Even if a business is up and running and you're really efficient in the products that you produce and you've got employees that have been around a really long time and are reliable and show up to work every day, there's still going to be stuff that you need to do to be able to maintain that same level as a business. And trading is no different. So really that mindset and that you never actually arrive, you just get better at getting it right instead of being right.
Yeah, and I get that. And customers change in business and the market's always changing. So you never arrive. That's powerful. Rob, what would you think as far as the fallacies versus the reality?
Yeah, there's this tendency, this misconception that because we can't control the outcome of a trade, that it's necessarily gambling, which it's not. Or it can be, but that's really more about how you approach it and how you actually behave within your trading system. Yeah, we can't, and it's foolhardy to say, hey, I think Amazon's going to go up to 3,500 tomorrow. And get into that predictive mode because nobody can predict the future and nobody can influence the outcome of that stock's price movement unless you've got the big line to swing and, you know, buy a bajillion shares of it and move it up, drive it up. That's called manipulation. And most of us small fish retail traders cannot do that. So that fallacy that it needs to be a gamble. Well, okay. Even gamblers, if you think like, you know, turn on the TV, there's like online, you know, Texas Hold'em, tournaments and these, you know, the World Series of Poker, that kind of stuff, or sports bettors, they're always looking for their advantage. And once you realize that the best advantage you can have is a well-versed, well-practiced, and proven, demonstrated to work trading system, then you're going to take a completely different approach to it. And instead of the get rich quick, like you're talking about, Jason, and and taking that home run mentality. And Jess, you and I have talked about this a million times. As soon as I started to look at myself like Tony Gwynn or one of those great average hitters, and I realized that, hey, if I just compound my gains, you know, a 2%, a 5%, a little single, just get on base, Jason, man, just get on base. You don't have to do anything beyond that. Don't swing for the fences, because that sets you up for strikeouts.
Right.
It's that kind of gambler that works its way in, or that get rich quick kind of thinking that gets you into trouble.
Yeah. And what you guys are sharing are things that you just have to learn from experience. And I'm hoping that listeners to this podcast can hear this experience. They can implement it. They can be the person who learns from others' mistakes and others' victories versus bumping their head all the time. So that leads me to this next question. If you guys could go back, and we got this back to the future scenario, and before you click into that first trade or that first investment, you can meet with yourself and just tell yourself one piece of advice. What would you take from this year, 2021 wisdom, and give to yourself when you started trading?
I would say be systematic. Don't go in with this, kind of gambling mentality. Create a system and prove that system before you start entering into the market. That way you're not paying tuition. I mean, there's plenty of people in the market that would gladly take your money. But being able to have a system that you know works before you get started is one of the things that I would definitely take in with me.
Am I allowed to give like a Back to the Future, Marty McFly, Sports Almanac answer?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Buy calls in Tesla, I guess.
Right.
That'd be like great. But, honestly, as far as, you know, the behavior, what would help me the most, if we backtrack 5 years, is trade less. You know, higher quality, lower quantity when you get to the cash market and you're actually, you know, putting your hard-earned money on trades. Overtrading was my bugaboo, and that relates to the aggressiveness we've already talked about today. But yeah, trade less and log more. Log your freaking trades, Rob.
And so one quick follow-up on that. Would you tell the person who's listening, the new trader, should they be logging their sim trades or just wait until they actually get into the market to start logging?
I'm not even going to wait for you, Jess. Log everything, document it all. It is all relevant, and it can all be used as fuel and fodder to get you one step closer to that promised land, that consistent income that trading can pay you if you're diligent with it.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that is, I think most people that are looking to grow as human beings have come across something of a growth journal or the importance of writing things down, writing your thoughts out. We've heard, you know, all different avenues of, you know, write in a journal, get up in the morning and do a daily journal. Your trade log is that journal. So if you want to grow as a trader, write everything down. I've been trading for decades, and I have learned the same lessons over and over and over until I started actually creating and consistently inputting data into a trade log. That way you don't have to keep learning from your same mistakes over and over and over, and you can get more growth and you get more of an opportunity to connect dots that you wouldn't otherwise have been able to connect, because the time between some of these things is too long. You can't remember. You may be remembering a 20% trade last week and you forgot, you know, the 5% losses that you took.
Right.
So really you're at a negative 30, but you're still living high on that 20% trade. And that's just a really small fraction of all the growth that can occur from a trade log. It is so, so important.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing that I don't even know why, but I was really hesitant to log trades, to journal when I first started. Then I got to a point, and what I've noticed is that when you go from a down, you have a bad situation and you don't write it down. When you're up, when you're feeling good, you don't remember exactly what happened. You almost shift, you know, paradigms to where a lot of the memory associated with that loss is gone. And so it's just hard to recall. So it's super powerful to do that. I appreciate you guys sharing that. So let's talk Trader Genius. I know we've mentioned it a bunch of times. I feel like if I was a listener, I'd be like, what is it? So you guys have told me that it's software, it's coaching, it's tutorials, it's a trading system, it's a social networking tool, and it's also kind of a practical education hub. You guys, you found it, you've moved up within the ranks there. Please just tell us anything you'd like to about Trader Genius and how you guys have, built things starting in the mid-90s.
Yeah, Trader Genius was built on this idea of people being able to do it themselves. There was an individual who was pretty high up in the institutional side of the world and got a look behind the curtain. And because of ethical reasons and some other reasons, he decided that this actually wasn't the best place for him. But he really understood the market and really still wanted to be able to, you know, be effective. And obviously he needs to find a way to make an income if he is not going to be in the institutional side anymore. So lucky for him and all of his hard work, he had the ability to create a software. And he created this software with the idea of being able to manage risk consistently over time. So he took all the tools that could be found and he ran and back tested those tools against the market all the way back to 1900 and only accepted what would provide consistency in all market conditions and in all market timeframes. And through that process and testing, he was able to create these indicators that we have today. He also pulled in all of the institutional knowledge. So a lot of these tools out there today, somebody hasn't gone through all the research and all that kind of stuff, but he has, and he pulled all that institutional research as well into Trader Genius. And throughout that process, he's a highly technical individual, and he met our co-founder, who is just a brilliant in systems and in particular how humans interact with systems. And at the time, the software was a really highly technical tool. Through meeting this other individual, a co-founder of Trader Genius, they were able to simplify the user interface. So we had talked about the binary tools. Either they're on or they're off, and a lot of it is based on colors. So greens, blues, reds, and yellows are kind of some of the heavy hitters within the software as far as colors go. And it allows people to create a system to view the market and be able to manage their risk. Because through these tools, they allow you to get a really good picture of when whatever type of security you're looking at is moving from low to high risk and from high to low risk. And it does it in a really simple format that it really requires very little market knowledge. We were talking about those fallacies a minute ago. You know, a lot of people have this perception that you need to know everything about the market to be able to interact with the market, or you need to have some certain level of education, or you need to come from a wealthy family, or you need to have a lot of money to get started. And what we have found is that's just not true. When all these years that Trader Genius has been around, we had an idea at one point that we're going to see who has been the most successful with the Trader Genius software. And kind of the idea was, or the hypothesis was, that those with the most technical knowledge and those with the most years of experience in the market are going to do the best or perform the best using the Trader Genius software. And what we actually found was that we were dead wrong. What we found was the people that consistently use the software are the ones that are the most successful. So it doesn't matter age, it doesn't matter socioeconomic status, it doesn't matter education, it doesn't matter how much money you start out with, none of that matters. The software is set up in such a way the genius or the elegance behind the software is anybody with a little bit of training and a little bit of knowledge can pick up this software and literally change their life if they're willing to put in the time to do it. And so Trader Genius was built around this idea of combining the software with community and education. And that allows people to continue to grow. And it goes back to the three principles that I was talking about. It allows people to begin to trust the tools, build a trading vehicle or a trading system that they trust, and be able to gain awareness around their own decision-making, to be able to build trust in their ability to make the right decision each time they step foot into the market. And ultimately, that's what Trader Genius brings, is the ability for people to be able to manage their own money in a confident, risk-managed way.
Wow. That's powerful stuff. And so you can find Trader Genius, tradergenius.com. You guys are also on Instagram. You have a Facebook page and, of course, YouTube as well. And just by searching Trader Genius, you can find all of that content. Rob, anything to add to Trader Genius, how it's impacted you, or just in general, so our listeners know?
Yeah, it is life-changing once you get up and running and stable. And it's a huge capability enhancement and a skill build that just gives you confidence. But, you know, just did a great job of covering what Trader Genius is. So how do you use it? You use it to achieve individual wealth velocity. And that's a pretty self-explanatory term. You can find out more on the website about wealth velocity, but that's it. You set up your own affairs and dictate the terms of your trading to unlock the lifestyle that you wanted. And it's, who's it for? It's for everybody, from inexperienced traders. We have plenty of first timers, you know, a single mom who's just trying to, you know, put food in their kids' mouths, to experienced investors who are just looking for better tools. So really it's trading and investing for everyone that's going to take it seriously and apply themselves in order to, you know, basically cultivate the fruits of your labor.
That's great stuff. And there are so much information here in this show, and I am very thankful. And I want to close it out with just opening it up to any wisdom that you guys want to share. What might you have asked yourself that I didn't ask today?
That is deep, brother. You know, just there's habits outside of our trading habits. All the emphasis goes to the charts and clicking buy, clicking close. Hey, what's the right broker? All, you know, all the kind of practical side of it. But man, Jason, you know, you've been day trading as well, and you document your journey. And thank you for doing what you do, by the way, brother. But
appreciate that.
You talk about the intangibles. There are all kinds of contributing factors that dictate whether you're in that right mindset or not. So some of the best self-discovery that I've done and helped me grow as a person, not just as a trader, has been through examining my habits. So I'd say take inventory of what you're actually doing with the hours in your day. And for instance, like Jess and I have talked, it's a joke now, it's a running joke around the club. Like, I discovered at some point that I was caffeinating myself to the heavens before I was day trading. And guess what that did to my freaking trading process, brother?
Probably not good.
Nah, throws a monkey wrench in there. So it makes me impulsive, and it really feeds that aggressiveness. So it's something that I want, and it's something that I can do, but it's not something that's in my best interest. So examine that, you know, really ask yourself, are you getting enough sleep before you sit down to trade, whether that's stocks, options, Forex, crypto, whatever? Are you well rested? Are you in that ideal frame of mind? And put together a warm-up routine to get yourself some batting practice before you get out there and step to the plate.
Nice, brother. I would jump in with another quote that I'll butcher, but I always think about it, and it kind of piggybacks on what Rob was saying about, you know, pay attention to how you're using the hours in your day, and patience. So one quote that I always think about is nature grows slowly, yet all is accomplished. And just give it time and start to focus on it. and be patient with yourself. This isn't something that you rush into, but it is something that can become a reality in a relatively short period of time that can really give you leverage. And you don't have to want to quit your job, and you don't want to have all this freedom of time, place, and location. You may love your job, and that's fantastic. And you're just looking for, you know, some vacation money or a way to just improve your family's situation. You know, ask yourself, is $500 a month in addition to what you're currently making, is that going to be a difference maker for you and your family, or $1,000 or whatever it is? Well, trading can be used to be able to create that without having to work 12 hours a day and then go deliver pizzas at night. So you can still have what it is that you're wanting to get. Just be patient with it, give it its time and attention. And over time, one day you're going to come to a decision point. For me, I came to a decision point. My wife actually recognized that I was doing better with trading and could quit my job before I did. So be patient and not trying to reach for stuff all the time. Let it happen organically and let it happen in your face or hit you in the face. And that's going to come with just time and patience and giving it the focus that it deserves. And over time, good things can and will happen.
That is incredible. And I find it, listeners, it's literally impossible to not have learned something from this conversation today. There's so much here. And if you want more, again, Facebook, you can find Trader Genius. Instagram, you can find Trader Genius. The website, and also on YouTube. So definitely seek them. Rob, Jess, thank you for being on the show today.
Grateful to be here and appreciate what you're doing, brother.
Muchas gracias, hermano. Keep trumpeting it from the mountaintops.
I really hope that was helpful. It was super fun to create. Thank you for listening. As always, if you enjoyed, if you benefited from our time together today, please share this podcast with other traders, other people that you care about. You can check out more thought-provoking talks around personal growth, spiritual growth, and day trading at tradingascension.com. I have a free gift there for you. You can join the Trading Ascension VIP list. And one last thing, remember, be the hero of your story.